kids' church. So this morning, God wants us to kick the basket off. He wants us to get up out of the cellar. He wants us to get the light out from underneath the bed and get it on the stand where it belongs. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, I speak that by faith because the worship service said to prophesy and say it like you mean it. The song we sang, I believe you're going to see me through it. You're going to get me to it right now. Something has to break. So this morning, as I share, if I had another message, I would share that. But this is the message that God gave me to share with you. And if this fits you today, then lay hold of it, because God is here. During the worship time, there were a number of times I just felt so lifted, and I felt the Lord was encouraging me. And God wants to work today in our lives. He wants to work. He is at work. If you could put that scripture verse up, Mark chapter 4, I think probably everybody here is familiar with it. If you're not, you will be when we get done. Jesus tells the parable of the sower of the seed. You all know it. Sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, as he was going, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and ate it up, and it was gone. And some of the seed fell among the rocky places, and it started to grow. And when the sun came out, it scorched it. It dried up because it had no root in itself. And then I'm not there yet. You can back up to the beginning. Sorry about that. And then the third one, there was another seed. It fell among the thorns, and it grew up with the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked the word, and it was not able to bring any fruit to maturity. And then the fourth seed, it says some seed fell on good soil. Everybody say yes. Yeah, because that's what we are. We're good soil. The seed has found root in us. I am thankful. And it found good soil, and it brought forth a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Each according to our ability. Each according to what God has given us. Sometimes I think 100-fold is a rarity, but nonetheless, amen. So I want to take a look here. This is what I want to focus on today. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Okay, how many have ever been there? I have experienced that in my life. Before I really came to know Christ, the word was sown to me, and before I could even believe, the devil stole it from me. And then verse 16, please. In a similar way, these are the ones. Go ahead, next verse. These are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, they immediately fall away. And the others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed, is it, Steve?
No.
Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been in secret, but it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, then let him hear. Now, let me just say today, right off the bat, number one, Our lamp has been lit. How many can say yes? Yes, yes, my lamp has been lit. I'll tell you what, God has lit our lamp, and we belong on the stand. Amen? Proverbs 20, verse 27 says this. You can put it up there if you would, please. It says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and it searches the innermost parts. But when we were born again, when God lit our lamp, it's not just searching our inner man anymore, it's searching the world. Our light is shining out to the place that we are, where we live, the people we see, the things we do. That lamp is now shining to them. And I know this is something that we all know this, but if we all know it, we're supposed to be shining all the more brighter. Yes. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So I just want to tell you, when the Lord lit this man's soul, when he lit my spirit, when I was born again, I was changed. I was absolutely changed. I was like a bat in a cave that just got transformed into a sparrow. And I was fluttering around, and I was singing, and I could not figure out why the rest of the bats in the cave didn't want to chirp with me, and they didn't want to go out into the daylight. I could not figure that out. I used to sit in my car and cry because people didn't accept me for who I was, never realizing it wasn't me, it was Jesus. God wants our light to shine, amen. He wants it up on a stand. He wants to do things in us, fill us with his glory. We're changed, and we're forever changed, and there's no going back. We need to burn bridges. I appreciate what Rocky had to share. You know, we want to hold on to this thing tightly, tightly with God, tightly with Christ. You know, I was telling everybody about God. You couldn't shut me up. I had a song in my heart. I sang like an old crow, but I sang. I mean, I was singing. I mean, I remember the men I worked with on the railroad, burly, mean-looking guys, ugly like me. And they just absolutely wanted to get rid of me. I had one guy grab me by the lapels and said, how do you know some innkeeper didn't write that stupid book? I didn't have an answer. I just had a smile. I just had love in my heart because I was lit. I was shining. And I was on the stand. You know, and it grieves me at times. As I came across this scripture, God just stopped me. Men, don't light a lamp and put it under a bed, do they? Or under a basket. I think in Luke chapter 8, he says they don't put it in a cellar, do they? Jesus said this in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then again he said, men don't light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed. You know, this is repeated 4 times in the Gospels. Jesus said those very words. You don't light a lamp. Luke chapter 8 says it, Mark 4, Matthew 5, and Luke 11. He repeats it again concerning what we see with our eyes. But he says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. Because Jesus said this right after he mentioned us being put up on the stand. He says, nothing is hidden in verse 22 of Mark 4 except to be revealed, nor has anything been in secret but that it would come to light. You could smile at me now. That's the gospel. That's what he's talking about. The gospel was hidden for ages. And finally, it's come out, it's come to light, and he wants our light up on the stand. He wants us shining in the place that he has for us because the world needs to hear the gospel. Amen. Needs to hear the gospel. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. You all have heard this. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Church, it's time for us to shine. If we haven't been shining, I want to tell you this has been a repeat in my life over and over and over and over and over again. Of rediscovering, oh God, I've moved off of the stand. I'm in a cellar somewhere. I'm under a basket. I'm hiding underneath the bed somewhere. All of these things. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. You know, I've had people ask me, Brian, what do you think is going to happen in the future? I say, I don't know, but I could tell you one thing. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And if ever it's a time, it's now. But he says, the Lord will shine upon you. Look at that. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you. His glory will appear on you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your coming. Isn't this fun? Isn't that exciting? Because all we really want as God's people, we want to do what he wants us to do. Like I said before, if I had a different message, I would preach it. But this is what God gave me to share. He's speaking to me as well as I'm speaking to you. God is talking to me. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. Now, how about us today? Are we burning? Are we burning? Corey talked about fire last week. I don't think I have the same kind of fire, but it's a fire. Are we burning? Is our torch burning brightly? You know how incessant the Holy Spirit is with us? He always wants us out on the stand. That's what he's saying here. I, the Holy Spirit, will never cease. I won't be quiet. I'm not going to leave you alone until my righteousness is burning in you like a torch. My salvation is shining out of you like a torch to the world. That brightness is always coming to people in whatever way we do it. Not all of us can be Pastor Harley and go to India or go to Vietnam and get to preach, but we get to preach in our own little corner. Amen. We get to shine. And we don't have to get up at a pulpit and stand like I'm standing today and preach. No, we just shine with the love of Jesus. That's right. That's what we do. We shine with the love of the Lord. We need some exuberance. We need a little bit of stirring, a little bit of agitation, a little bit of the Holy Spirit not letting us alone. Amen? Yeah. You know, this sister right here with the, you know, I don't know if there's such a thing in the Bible as a gift of exuberance, but you have it. You have it. Amen. You have it. And, you know, that stuff, you know, we need to rub up against somebody and get some of that. Amen. Amen. And number two, second thing, I'll be brief here if I can. Men don't light a lamp. It's common sense. We don't turn a light on that's inside of a box somewhere. They set them on the ceiling. We set them on walls. We set them on tables. They're fixed there because they give light to everyone that walks in the room. And so God has lit you and I today so that the world can see it. So let's talk a little bit today about baskets, beds, and basements. Can we do that? Because those are the things that are covering up the light. Those are the things that are covering up the light. He said so. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns are these ones that have heard. And as they go on their way, they're choked with worries. You know, we sang today again that song. I love that song. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word. We hear it. Jesus even said in the story of this parable, twice in Luke and Mark, he said, so be careful how you hear. Make sure you listen good to what God is saying. The world is listening to us. Amen? Because it's these thorns. That's what the basket's made out of. That's what the bed is made out of. That's what the basement's made out of. It's thorns. It's these worries. that we have in life. They come in and they choke the word. I don't know about you. I just want to be honest today. I know I'm supposedly a preacher, but I feel days like I'm being strangled. I feel like I'm being choked, and the fruitfulness of heaven is not coming out of me because I'm overcome with worries and fears, anxieties, too much Fox News, or whatever news channel you listen to. It's enough to give you heartburn. I can only take so much of it. I'm patriotic. I got red, white, and blue lights on every night, brother, at my house, surrounding my deck. I'm patriotic. I love our country. I love America. But if we get filled with all the worries, all the cares of life, it puts a basket over our lamp. Let that sink in for a minute. Think about that one. Because today I want us to be a beginning for us. I believe the Lord wants this to be a time when we begin to call out to heaven. God, take it off of me. We need to be honest. No, Lord, I'm not strong enough to do this. I don't have that strength in myself to resist this. I need your help. I'm poor. I'm weak without you. I need you, Holy Spirit of God. Come, take this thing off of me. Help me get this light out from underneath the bed and get it up on a stand. My brother-in-law, whose name I won't mention to protect the innocent, when he knew Jesus and he backslid really good. I mean, he did a good job of it. Rocky, I mean, he slid down the hill all the way to the bottom. He bottomed out. And I remember a few times really looking down my nose at him and saying, you know, why don't you straighten up? And he looked at me a couple of times. He said, you don't realize, Brian, how hard it is to come back once you've gotten away. How many can identify with what I'm saying? You know, when he finally came back, he lived with us for a while, and then he got on his own in an apartment, and he did well. He buried his nose in a Bible. He sat on a couch every morning at 4 o'clock and sat with Jesus before he went out and met his day and did his work. And he saw that. He said, Brian, I have to see this is the most valuable thing in my life, the most treasured possession that I have. He says, it's how bad you want it. How much do we want to bear fruit for God? How much do we want to glorify the Lord? This is not a heavy message, but it is heavy. But it's not heavy. This is our purpose. This is what God made us for. Amen? It's what he created us to shine. And shine brightly. No smudges. The wick trimmed, burning bright, out in the open where everybody can see it. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, enough said. I want to cover just this third thing, and that is that we need to be on our stand. We need to be in the place that God's created for us to be in. Whether that's in our family, some of you housewives, you may never see the outside of your door because you're so busy with kids. You're so busy with this. You're so busy with that. But you're a light to your children. You're a light to your husband, even if he doesn't know the Lord. Just by your chaste behavior, like the scripture says, you are shining forth the glory of God in the face of Christ to so much that they look and they think they're talking to an angel. Amen. My wife thought I was an angel. No, she doesn't think that anymore. Now I think that about her. Well, I want to read a scripture verse, and I want to share a couple of stories, and I'll be done. Because God wants the fire. He wants it burning. To tell you the truth, it's already burning. It's just a matter of where is it? Where is it? Where is the fire today? Where's the candle? Where's the lamp? If you go through the scriptures, you find lamps all through the Bible. Book of Revelation is some awesome stuff in there. I don't want to get into that today, but I am going to get into the book of Revelation. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We all know this. This doesn't have to be heavy because it's really good stuff. Jesus is addressing the first church at Ephesus and he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And oh, how God stopped me on that verse. The second part of that verse, remember. And I have been crying out to heaven. And I have been asking God, help me, Lord, to remember. I remember, but some of the memories are vague. How on fire I was. How on the stand I was, on the spot, on the stand, shining, gleaming. This is so good. You guys should be excited. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God is good. This is so good because this is God's will for our life. Remember. Remember from where you've fallen and repent. Do the deed you did at first or else I'm coming to you and I'm going to remove your lampstand. Now, I'm not pointing at any of you. I'm pointing at me today. This is what I need. Maybe this is my best message because I need to hear this. This is for me. But God has lit my lamp, and he wants it on the stand. And I look back on how when I first fell in love with Jesus. You ever heard that old chorus, when I first fell in love with Jesus, I gave him all of my heart? Remember that song? You remember it? I guess we're the only old ones in here. I thought I couldn't love him more than I did right at the start. But now I look back over the mountains and the valleys where I've been. It makes me know I love him so much more than I did then. Are we there? Are we there yet, like the movie says? Are we there yet? I remember quite a number of years ago when I was pastoring, we had a lady in our church wanted to get baptized. And she wanted to do it at Patterson Park out in, you know where it is, outside of Superior State Park. And, you know, that day when I got up out of the bed with an attitude. I had a basket over my light. I just was not in a good mood. She's just getting baptized. She's inviting everybody, and she just wants to show off. And what a way for a pastor to be, right? And I was, people were showing up, and all kinds of people came. She had a big family, friends. And it was getting close to the time when we had set for her to get baptized. And I went in the bathroom, and I'm getting changed into my swimming suit. And in the middle of the swimming suit, you know who showed up in there? God. And he says, hey, you kind of got a bad attitude, don't you? What about all those people out there that I brought here? Now you get dressed and you get outside and you talk to them. Because up till then, I wasn't. Can you handle that? And so you know what I did? I got dressed and I went out and I started to talk. And I was going along shaking hands, not even looking. And when I did, I came up to this man. He looked like Clinton. And I put my hand in him to introduce myself. And he was so big, my hand disappeared in his. I says, hi, how are you doing today? He says, are you the pastor? He was very soft-spoken. I said, yes, I am. And he says, he started to cry. He says, I think I'm going to die. And I thought he said, I'm afraid to die. I says, what? What? He goes, I think I'm going to die. I says, well, why? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, are you afraid to die? He said, yes, I am. Stupid. So I said, let's go for a walk. We took a walk, and I prayed with him to receive Christ. A month later, I was out in my truck doing my thing, and phone rings, and my wife had called me, and she says, you know what happened today? Somebody died. Guess who it was? 30 days later, he dropped dead. I thank God for his mercy to talk to me and say, hey, get up on the stand. Get out there with it. Show your love. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. So God is faithful. He will call us. He will prod us. He will not leave us alone because he wants it burning. Like it says in Isaiah, I will, for Zion's sake, that's us. For Jerusalem's sake, that's us. We're the bride of Christ. I'm not going to be quiet until your lamp is burning so bright and shining into the darkness. Because we are living in a day when it's dark. I think we could all say amen to that one because that's so true. That's so true. One other example I just want to give you, and then I'll end here. A friend of mine that I work with on a railroad, he had led me to Christ. And there was a man that we worked with. I did drugs with this man. We drank together. We, for lack of good words, we just held around together. And he was a man that was in poor, poor health. And I tried to witness to that guy. I shared and shared and shared with him. And when I had finally left the railroad, the man that had led me to the Lord stayed on and worked. And this man's health began to decrease and decrease. And he says, I'll never forget, Brian, the day that I got out of the truck to go to work on a project. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, John, take care of Earl. This man's name was Earl. He says, take care of Earl. And so I just ignored it. He said that day later, he says, I heard it again. He just stopped me in my tracks and said, John, take care of Earl. And so he says, I started to do his work for him because he couldn't finish his work. And he says, I did that until he retired. Number of years later, this man that we did all these things with was actually renting from Lisa and I. We own some apartment houses, owned. So don't call me for an apartment. I don't have one. But he was renting from me, and I was working on an apartment house. I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget where I was standing. He called me on the phone, and I look. I said, it's Earl. I'm sweating, and I am so overwhelmed. I am so busy. I am so full of the cares of life. I said, I'm not even going to answer it. That just phone just would not stop and find out. Okay. So I said, yeah, what is it? He says, hi. I said, hi, what's up? So he's like, I don't want to talk to you right now. And so long story short, he just kept being nice to me. He says, I just called to say hi. I says, oh, really? I says, so what's up? I couldn't get it through my head that he didn't want something. He said, well, I just wanted to say hi and see how you're doing because I know people call you all the time. They want something. He said, I just called to say hi. I said, well, I didn't know what to do with it. I said, okay, well, thank you. He says, and I did want to tell you that I had a dream last night. This man, you got to understand, this man's a complete pagan. He says, I had a dream last night. I said, really? He goes, yeah, and you were in it. And don't you know that he began to tell me the very things that I was praying to God about, asking, crying out to God for answers for things. He told me all this stuff. And he, about halfway through that dream, the little bit of hair I had was standing straight up. Even the hair on my chest was standing up. I mean, I had the goosebumps. It's like, oh my gosh. And I says, Earl, do you realize that God has just spoke to you in a dream? No. I said, yes, he has. And I told him what he had told me. I said, you realize this. Whew. Anyway, months later, he got very sick. He had cancer. And my friend that I worked with on the railroad, him and I went up there, and his wife was there. Lisa couldn't make it. We went up there, and that man prayed and asked Christ to come into his life on his deathbed. We need to be on the stand. Our light is lit. God has lit our life for a purpose and a reason. He wants us on the stand, shining for his glory, touching lives. It's so simple. But I want to ask you today, do you feel like your lamp is really shining? It's really where it needs to be. You're where you need to be with the Lord. I'll never forget the story Francis Frangipane told. He's an amazing teacher. He's a pastor. He has a teaching called In Christ's Image. If you ever get a chance, take a look at it. It's amazing. I went through his Bible study course on that. But he's a pastor in Des Moines, Iowa. And he said, I started my church. He says, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Every day I met with the Lord until 8 o'clock. Every day I sat for 4 hours, just Jesus and me. He says, and when I came to church and I had to do ministry, I was glowing. He said, well, the church started to get filled, and I got busy, and I started filling my time with God with counseling time for people and business meetings. He said, I'll never forget the day after church, one of the elders came up to me and was talking with me and just kind of kept hanging around, and finally he turned nervously, and he looked at me and says, Francis, I have a message from God for you. He says, what is it? He says, tell Francis, I miss him. I miss him. So I want to ask today, how many of us want to pray this morning? Maybe you could stand with me. You want to ask God, God, come, help me on that road back to really shining for you. Really reaching the full potential that you have. Realizing that there are people that we have not yet met that God wants to touch their life. There's people that are in our life right now that we have not yet touched. We've avoided it. We've been filled with worries and cares of life. We've let the pleasures of being in a prosperous country overcome that light. It's still there. It's still burning. How many ever heard of Don Potter, the singer? He's got that. He sings that song. I have a light, and it always shines. Shines in the day. Shines in the night. When the dark days come and the sun isn't bright, I will be shining bright because I have a light. He says, I spend the time trying to hide it. When God wants it out on the stand, he says it never goes out because it's not hooked up to anything but the Lord. It's not unplugged, it's plugged in. Amen. So how many today would pray with me? Would you do that? Let's take this road back with Jesus. Let's take this road back and walk with him. Let's be honest in our hearts. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus addresses the last church at Laodicea. And he says, you know, you've become lukewarm. That's not an indictment. It's the Lord's admonition to us. He says, you're not on fire for me, and you don't hate me. He says, I wish you were one or the other. But you're not, he says. So, you know, he says, I want you to come back to me. Come back. He says, I advise you to come to me and buy gold. You say you've become rich and you don't need anything. He says, but I want you to come to me and buy gold that's refined in the fire. Buy white clothes to cover your nakedness. But you know, he says, I stand at the door and knock. You know, and I'm thankful that Jesus has stood at my door and he's knocked many, many times. He's knocked at my door. Many, many times. He says, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice, and you open, I will come in. There's a culture thing here with the Jews, and that is this, is that whenever a groom would come to get his bride, he would come with his father, and he would stand at the door and knock. And if the bride opened the door, not with just a little crack, but if the bride opened the door all the way, they would come in. We want to open up wide today, all the way. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, you see my heart. You see all of us here today. You know where we are. And we're convinced that you love us. We're convinced that you've lit our lamp, that our soul has been born again. We're a new creature. And Lord, we're saying to you today, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need your help all of the way, every step. Bring us back. You're calling us back to yourself. You're calling us into your love, into your mercy, Lord, that we might show mercy, that we might show love to others. Touch us today, Father. Help us, Lord, to get up in the place where you want us to be. Help us, Lord. Our strength isn't enough to get that basket off. It's just not enough. It took some of us months, years to put it over us. Help us to get it off. We don't have the strength by ourselves. Help us. So, Father, we want to say thank you, Lord. Continue, I pray, God, to walk with us, that we could shine into the light, into the world, into the darkness, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Have a good Sunday. Thank you. Amen.